Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. It's always good to see your smiling faces, and welcome to those who are joining us more remotely. Our flowers today are by Shanna and Mark Bolvin, who were united in marriage here yesterday. So please keep them in your prayers. Also, you will see up here, if you had gone to Vacation Bible School this last week, or if you know any young people who did, you may have heard of my friend here who accompanied me. This, of course, our theme was on the case as we were looking for clues about how to grow closer with God. So we were all detectives or junior detectives. So I had to have an assistant with me. This, of course, is Private I for iguana. So if you know any little kids and they say, there was this lady running around with an iguana, this is what they're talking about. We had a lot of fun. We do have a few announcements. First of all, Paul Johnson is going to be serving root beer floats right after worship. So that was a good reason to be here this morning. Of course, there are always lots of good reasons, but root beer floats. And our food pantry volunteers tomorrow are Kathleen and Ron McPhee. I also want you to remember to put on your calendar the last Sunday of August when we will be doing worship in the park at 10 o'clock, along with Union Congregational. And St. Luke's Episcopal has been invited. I have yet to hear back from them whether they want to join us for worship or for the potluck afterward or for both. So just keep that in mind that the last Sunday of August will be in the park. Do we have any other announcements? If not, let us start with our invocation song, We Are Gathered Here. So you should have one of these folders because we're using Chosen People today. As our acolyte this morning and light our candles. Who feels chosen? And as our candles are being lit, I invite you to share a sign of peace with your neighbor. Let us join in our confession. We have not lived as your chosen people. We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant, your son. Sometimes I hate. Sometimes I lie. Sometimes I waste. Sometimes I cheat. We have not lived as your chosen people.
We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant of your son. Sometimes I am selfish. Sometimes I am prejudiced. Sometimes I am uncaring. Sometimes I am destructive. We have not lived as your chosen people. We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant of your son.
Even though we are in bondage to sin, there is hope for freedom, not by our own doing, but because we are chosen by God to receive the gift of forgiveness. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we know this is true.
Thank you.
Gracious God, we are a chosen people, but sometimes we don't feel like anyone would choose us. Sometimes we feel our best friends and our family don't even know us. It seems the pressures of the world are too much for one person alone. Help us remember, Lord, that each of us is specially chosen to be part of your family, to follow in the footsteps that Jesus walked. And though the road may be difficult, help us today to feel the presence of your Spirit holding us forever in your family. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so the first reading is from the first and second chapter of Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. I, the teacher, when king over Israel and Jerusalem, applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to human beings to be busy with. I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun, and see, all is vanity and a chasing after wind. I hated my toil in which I had toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to those who come after me. And who knows whether they will be wise or foolish, yet they will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This is also vanity. So I turned and gave my heart up to despair concerning all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What do mortals get from all the toil and strain with which they toil under the sun? For all their days are full of pain, and their work is a vexation. Even at night their minds do not rest. This also is vanity. Word of God, word of life, and thanks be to God. Let us read Psalm 49 responsibly. Hear this, all you peoples. Give ear, all you who dwell in the world.
You abide green and low, rich and poor together.
My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and my heart shall meditate on understanding.
I will incline my ear to a proverb, and set forth my middle among the heart.
Why should I be afraid in evil days, when the wickedness of those at my heels surround me?
The wickedness of those who put their trust in their own prowess, and the boast of their greatest riches.
One can never redeem another, or give to God the ransom for another's life.
For the ransom of a life is so great that there would never be enough to pay it.
In order to live forever and ever, and never see the grave.
For we see that the wise die also, like the dull and stupid they perish, and leave their wealth to those who come after them.
Their graves shall be their homes forever, their dwelling places from generation to generation, though they had named lands after themselves.
Even though honored, they cannot live forever. They are like beasts that perish.
The second reading is from the third chapter of Colossians. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free, but Christ is all and in all. Word of God, word of life.
And thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory
to you, O Lord. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." Then he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. The Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A father knocks on his daughter's door about 4 a.m. in order to help her begin the process of buying a new car. She tells him that she's already has things covered through the new Capital One Auto Navigator, which has made the process of buying a car simple. After the daughter rejects the father's offer of help, he says, "So, who wants French toast?" The daughter then turns to the camera and says, "What's in your wallet?" What's in your wallet? Capital One's tagline is supposed to give the impression that their credit cards are the best, and you are missing out if you don't have one. You are missing out on double miles, double points, extra cash back, and fraud protection, as well as easier access to the car of your dreams. Capital One loves to cast celebrities in its commercials, people such as Jennifer Garner, Eugene and Sarah Levy, and Samuel L. Jackson. They expect you to identify with these individuals, or at least identify with them by having something that they have, that card in your wallet. Jackson said in one commercial, "Unlimited and easy. What else do you need to know?" Well, what else do you need to know? Jesus said, "Take care. Be on guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Jesus repeatedly tells people to give away what they have and follow him. What he is saying is to trust in God rather than in the accumulation of material wealth. One day, our very lives will be required of us, And then, what good are all our material possessions? I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun, and see, all is vanity and a chasing after wind, we heard in our first lesson. We are told, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. That which is the work of our hands, rather than the work of God, is nothing but vanity. This is echoed in our song for today, Psalm 49, when we are told that all people die. Cheery, isn't it? For we see that the wise die also, like the dull and stupid, they perish and leave their wealth to those who come after them. Even though honored, they cannot live forever. There's an old saying that you probably heard, you'll never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. We cannot bring our worldly possessions with us when we die. In our gospel reading, Jesus tells a parable about a rich man whose farms yield abundant crops. He looked at his fabulous wealth and, seeing that his barns were inadequate to hold all of the grain, decided to tear down the barns and build bigger ones. He looked at his wealth and said, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry." But God said to him, "You fool! This very night your life is demanded of you, and the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? Vanity of vanities, all is but vanity and a chasing after wind." We need to read the last line of our gospel lesson carefully. It says, "So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." God is not condemning shrewd farming techniques or business dealings. God is not condemning the acquisition of possessions per se. The problem shown in this parable, the reason that the rich man is called a fool, is that he is acting in isolation. He is a fool because he seems to live only for himself, believing that he can secure his life with his abundant possessions. When he talks to himself, the only person he refers to is himself. "What should I do? I have no place to store my crops. I will do this. I will pull down my barns. I will build bigger ones. Then I will store up all my grain." He does not realize that his wealth could bless others. He is oblivious to the fact that he lives in community. He seems to have no awareness of what God is calling him to do with his abundance. It is his attitude that is the problem. The parable is condemning a mindset that is focused on me, me, me. The rich fool fails to realize that his material wealth is simply entrusted to him for a time. It is greed that is being condemned. Greed that turns people inward to focus on themselves, on what is best for themselves in this mortal life, with no regard to the things of God. It is greed that convinces us that no matter how much we have, there are always things we don't have. And that's what the "What's in Your Wallet" campaign and all other advertising campaigns are trying to convince us, that there are more material things that we need in order to have a better, richer, more complete life. And with that sort of mindset, we will never have enough. When you look in your wallet, what do you see? What does it tell you about yourself? This is mine. If I look in it, I'll find a driver's license. That tells me and others who I am and how old I am for those times when age really does matter. I'll find a credit card, some debit cards, my COVID vaccination record, my AAA and AARP cards, my library cards. I'll find some cash, some receipts of recent purchases, a few store loyalty cards, some stamps, undoubtedly checks I haven't deposited yet, my voided California driver's license because I finally applied for a Wyoming one. I'll find a couple of business cards, a few gift cards, and a meal ticket for the Buffalo Senior Center that I won one of the times during the Monday bingo held during lunch. Then there are some stitch markers for future knitting projects. A chapstick. You can never have enough chapstick. My wallet tells a bit of a story about my life, but it certainly does not tell my whole life. If you look carefully at what is in my wallet, you'll find out where I live, where I lived in the past, where I work now, where I bank, what I like to buy, what fast food I eat. But you won't find out anything about my husband or my daughters, my pets, or my friends. You won't learn much about my relationship with God. You won't really get to know me by looking at my wallet and what's in it. And for those who wonder, no, I don't have a Capital One card, nor do I intend to obtain one. I've acquired a lot of possessions over the years. I will freely admit that I have difficulty getting rid of things that I have obtained. A lot of that seems to be the result of things that happened in my childhood, where I had very few possessions. We tended to live in a mindset of scarcity, and I seem to still maintain that mindset. The reality then, and my reality now, is that I need a mindset of abundance, that God has given me so much, that all that I have really does come from God, and that God has given me material possessions to steward them for a time. For the day will come when my very being will be demanded of me. When that time comes, will God be able to say to me, "You have been rich toward me. You have stored up treasures in heaven that far surpass what you stored up on earth." What's in your wallet is not the real question, ultimately. The real question is, where is your treasure? And can you take it with you when you go? Amen. Let us join together in our song of the day. We are a chosen people of God.
Thank you.
us join together in our statement of faith on page 6. We believe we are chosen by God, our Creator, to participate in the ongoing work of creation by holding life sacred and being good stewards of God's gracious gifts. We believe we are chosen by Jesus Christ, our Savior, to participate in the ongoing work of spreading the good news of God's saving love and serving others in the name of the Lord. We believe we are chosen by the Holy Spirit, who calls us through the Gospels to believe in Jesus Christ, gathers us as a community of believers to worship together and support one another, and enlightens us with gifts of love, forgiveness, and everlasting life. We believe the Holy Spirit nourishes our growth, preserves us in faith, and keeps us in God's grace forever. Amen. Today ends with merciful God. The response is receive our prayer. Trusting in God's extraordinary love, let us come near to the Holy One in prayer. O God, you are wholeness. Where there is division in your church, bring reconciliation and healing. Guide the work of theologians, Sunday school teachers, seminary professors, and all who provide instruction for the building up of your church. Merciful God, receive our prayer. O God, you are the source of all life. Where creation cries out in distress, bring relief and renewal. Bless farmers, ranchers, distributors, and all who provide our food. Nourish the land and its inhabitants. Merciful God, receive our prayer. O God, you are wisdom. Where nations and communities yearn for peace, bring justice. Strengthen those who toil for the welfare of others, especially military personnel, police, first responders, and activists, and for the healing of the nations. Merciful God, receive our prayer. O God, you are life. Where your people are overwhelmed by the busyness of life, bring encouragement. Accompany all who experience emotional, mental, or physical distress, especially those listed in our prayer chain and those that we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Renew us at your table of mercy. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
O God, you are our treasure. Where scarcity and anxiety pervade your church, bring abundance and vitality. Guide the work of church councils and committees and give them clarity for the work of ministry in this place. Merciful God, receive our prayer. O God, you are resurrection. We give you thanks for all your saints, especially those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Inspire us by their example of faithful living to set our minds on things above and to be rich in love toward you. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Receive the prayers of your children, merciful God, and hold us forever in your steadfast love. Through Jesus Christ, our holy wisdom.
Amen. Amen.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for remembrance of me." Let us boldly pray the prayer that our Lord taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Let us all join in this banquet, for all is now ready.
Please stand as you are able for the blessing. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and give you peace. Go now and live as chosen people of God.